You've probably noticed that scandals make headlines. The front page of the paper, the news stories on TV, magazines. It seems like there's always some scandal or another that is being reported. And I'm not exactly sure why people are so interested in reading about scandals, but I can say that there is a sense of disgust that we experience when we hear about a scandal. We are repulsed by two-faced behavior or inauthentic behavior or behavior that has no integrity. We're disgusted by that. And we rightly should be, actually. It's not a bad thing to be disgusted by a lack of authenticity or integrity in the words and actions of people. Think about leaders, for example. We trust leaders to be ones who are at the service of people, the service of our nation, the service of our families and our society. So when we find out that some leader or another has been just, you know, serving himself or doing something corrupt, abusing the power and authority that's been given, we're upset, we're angry, we should be. What about Catholic or so-called Catholic politicians and lawmakers who go out and advertise that they are Catholic and then stand for nothing Catholic whatsoever, refuse to defend life, and they don't stand up for the values of the gospel? We should be angry at that, and we are. There's all kinds of famous people, whether they be athletes or musicians or movie stars, that are role models of a sort. Maybe people we look up to, or certainly our kids or grandkids look up to. And then we find out that they're embroiled in some sort of scandal. They've been downloading child pornography, or they're racist, or they're intolerant of other religions. Or, you know, they're abusive. Well, we're angered because those people are supposed to be role models. We trusted them. It's in the church, too. I don't have to tell you the history of the last 15 years. People who were entrusted with roles of leadership in the church abused the trust that was placed in them, and they hurt countless, countless people. And we should be angry and disgusted about that. Other simple examples. Business people. We expect business people to have integrity. If the plumber tells you he's going to be at your house at 2:30, you expect him to be there at 2:30. You're probably not going to hire him again if he doesn't show up. Unless some emergency comes up or something. We expect people not to be two-faced. We expect authenticity and integrity. Our friends, our teachers in our schools, our professors in universities, we trust them to teach what is right and true, not to promote immorality or error. So if we find out that that's happening in our schools or universities, we get upset. I could go on and on, I am going on and on about different examples of inauthenticity and lack of integrity that upset us. Why is it that these things upset us? Well, I think it's precisely because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And God is disgusted by two-faced behavior, by a lack of integrity, by a lack of authenticity. God wants us to be, and to have integrity, to be authentic. And it's not just that we're upset on behalf of the person, say a movie star who's in some scandal. You say, oh gosh, I care for that person and I want for their good, so it would be a lot better for them if they weren't embroiled in scandal. Okay, that's one thing. That's a very charitable way of looking at it. But the thing I think that upsets us about a lack of integrity or a two-faced situation, behavior or speech, is that there is a betrayal of trust. We trust our leaders to serve the good of the people. We trust leaders in the church to be upright and moral. We trust Catholic politicians to represent us well, and all politicians, we're supposed to be able to trust them to represent us well. We trust spouses to be faithful. We trust business people to be honest. So when these things fail, when these people fail to be honest and good and true and upright and moral, there's a certain sense in which we feel that our trust in them has been betrayed. And when, you know as well as I do that in any relationship, when there is a betrayal of trust, there's a breakdown of that relationship. And that's what's upsetting. Not just because we realize that society could be better if we trusted our leaders and our teachers and famous people and role models and etc., but because this also has something to do with our life of faith. Inauthenticity or lack of integrity in our life of faith leads to a breakdown of the relationship with God. It's a betrayal of His trust in us to be His faithful people, to be His instruments in this world, people who bring peace, people who express His mercy, kindness, tenderness, and love to our brothers and sisters, especially who are most in need. God trusts us. Maybe we don't think of that very often, but it's true. God trusts us. And if we are Christians only in name, then there really isn't much substance to our relationship with God. And in the end, we're going to find that salvation is about relationship with God. If we enter into the pearly gates, it's because He knows us. It's because we've lived a life in relationship with God, not simply because we happen to get baptized one day. The readings all point to authenticity in our faith, being doers of the word, not just hearers, putting into practice the faith that leads and guides us. People should know that we are Catholic because of the things that we say and the ways that we treat them. It shouldn't just be that someone has heard that we go to St. Agnes and that's why they know that we're Catholic. There should be a radiance of goodness from our life that stems from that relationship of faith in Jesus Christ. It's good for us on a very regular basis to take stock of our thoughts and our words and our deeds and ask ourselves, how authentic am I? Do all of these things, all my thoughts and words and deeds, bear the marks of a Christian, a true disciple of Jesus Christ? We all have room for growth, of course. But we have to be committed to it as well. It doesn't happen by default. We have to work for integrity. We have to really be devoted to living the Christian life to the full. We know the parables in the gospel where Jesus talks about those who are not ready when the master returns. There is the parable, for example, of the foolish virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive at the reception. They have their lamps lit, but they haven't prepared with extra oil. So the night wears on and the bridegroom still hasn't arrived. They go out to buy more oil to keep their lamps lit. The bridegroom arrives. They come back from buying the oil. They knock at the door. The bridegroom says, "I do not know you." We don't want to be like those who are not ready. The way we are ready is by living in relationship. So that when the time comes and we knock at that door, we're not going to hear the words, "I do not know you," but rather, we'll hear that voice from within saying, "Come in. I've been waiting for you."